Because we left off last week, we were talking a little bit about the malacha of kosher. So we mentioned that the Prima Gadim has a suffix. When we speak about the notion of kayama, whose definition of kayama are we going after? We found objectively whether this knot is a type of a knot that lasts forever, or lasts for a long period of time. Or do we say that even if this particular knot may normally last for a long time, but I can trump that, because I'll have in mind to undo it in a few minutes from now. So maybe that's not called the Kesher Kayama. So it's a little bit unclear. So the Mishnah Berurah wanted to bring a raya from Asiyas Tzitzis. The Gemara in the end of Masechta Shabbos seems to say that tying tzitzis on Shabbos is a malacha d'oraisa under all circumstances. What do you mean? Why is it a malacha d'oraisa under all circumstances? Let the guy tie the tzitzis and have in mind he's going to untie the tzitzis in 20 minutes from now. So maybe that could be mafkia, the yisad d'oraisa of kosher. So says Mishnah Berurah, no, you see from here that your kavana just untie, that's like a lomal of lomayrid. If tzitzis knots are a permanent style knot, if that's the norm, that they treat it as a permanent style knot, so that's not going to be alleviated by your personal kavanah to untie it. That was Mishnah Berurah's big breakthrough. So we began to develop a possible refutation of this Mishnah Berurah based on a major machlokes. I think we may have stopped right in the middle between the Rebbein Eliyahu and Rebbein Tam, if I'm not mistaken, last week. So we mentioned the famous machlokes that ties in the first part of Chulin quotes between Rebbein Tam and Rebbein Eliyahu, but how to perform the mitzvah kshatim leosei adecha. So according to Rebbein Eliyahu, you got to go up to shul very early and literally make the knot every single day. And Rebbein Tam said, lohoyud v'amayil. He says, kshatim leosei adecha never ever meant to tie the knot every day. You tie the knot once by a bar. So if he makes it once by a bar mitzvah, less the other void. So the mitzvah shot was lahadek, is to tighten the pre-existing knot onto yourself. So come to Rebbein Tam and says, I'll bring your rye against Rebbein Eliyahu. And the Gemara in the end of Erevin, the Gemara says in the end of Erevin that tying tefillin is considered to be malacha d'oraisa of kosher. So the Gemara says that in the context of a guy who's walking on the street and he finds tefillin and the batim was separate from the ritzuas, can he tie them together, put them back on? Oh, I got you. So Rebbein Tam says, you see from that Gemara that kosher, keshel, tefillin is a d'oraisa. Why is it there? It's going to be Eliyahu. It's a keshen. It's tied, untied every single day. So the Mordechai quotes an answer to defend Rabbein Eliyahu. Mordechai says that Rachamana Kariya Kesher. The Torah calls it a Kesher. So you're writing me a Shtichel Torah. You're telling me a Taisus. No, it's Nishken Kesher, not Kesher, because it's Eino Shara. The Torah says it's a Kesher. So the Torah's definition of Kesher trumps all your lomdus. So the Oilam says the Mordechai, the Yoram and the Yo Kenzain is right. Not that we want to, but the Oilam is right. That you really have to tie your tefillin every single day. But tying tefillin on Shabbos is still a malacha d'oraisa, because how can you close your eyes and say this nishken kesher? The Torah Gufa calls it a kesher. So comes the Minchas Chinuch and he writes the same part when it comes to tzitzis string. Says the Minchas Chinuch that lo'olam, even im timtzu loymar, that you're going to play a game and you're going to have in mind to untie the tzitzis after a few minutes, maybe that would work. But by tzitzis, that's not going to work. Because a Torah kara kesher. Where did Torah call it kesher? That's a little tricky. The halacha moshina calls it a kesher, because there's a special halacha moshina called kesher elyon derais. It's sugi menachis. When you make tzitzis strings, you have to tie sharim on it. You can't just stick the strings and you have to make sharim. I didn't say you need five sharim derais, so that's a whole other story, but that's why I never really understood that Rashi. Rashi, the Pasha Shlach, says that what does the term mean when it says, V'hoylechem l'tzitzis risim z'schatz chobitzit Hashem? So Rashi gives you the gematria of 600 with the five ksharim and the eight. The five ksharim is only a minute. The five ksharim is not a din. There is no halacha, it has to be five ksharim. But says the Minchas Chinuch that you have to tie some ksharim. It's got to be a little chach, a little keshek, rachmana kari kesher. So you can't bring any rice from tzitzis, the same way you can't bring any rice from tefillin. That tzitzis and tefillin are different because the halacha requires of them to be called the kesher. So just as an important aside, which really has an impact on the lomdus of the Shabbos, what's the nekudas of machlokes in Rebbein Tam and Rebbein Eliyahu? Rebbein Eliyahu clearly held this dicha, otherwise Rebbein Tam's question is unanswerable. So clearly Rebbein Eliyahu understood this idea of rachmana kari kesher. They can have something that doesn't meet the regular standards of Hilchos Shabbos to be a kesher d'oraisa, but if the Torah calls it a kesher, the game's over. And Rebbein Tam didn't think that was right. Rebbein Tam, who asked the kasha, clearly wasn't nachas to that svar, didn't think that was the correct svar. What exactly is the kudas of machlokes? Why should rachmana kari kesher change the rules of Hilchos Shabbos? So the chayra, this really depends upon a fundamental chakira as to the very nature of the din of kesher chayim altogether. You know, we've been talking about kesher chayim. Mishnayos, sugyos, beginning of Perkei L'Ksharim, that without a kesher chayim, it's not going to be the oraisa. Whether that's the only condition or one of the multiple conditions is subject to machlokes. We'll talk a little bit about a little bit more as we go on. But kliyavu l'pligi, that kayama is a critical component of malachas kosher. So yesh lacho, yesh lodun, what's the nature of that component? Why is that so? How did Chazal figure that out? If you state in a pasuk, it has to be shel kayama. So one can understand in one of two ways. Either one can understand that this is Hilchos Shabbos Ikedin. This is a problem in Hilchos Shabbos. In Hilchos Shabbos, as a general rule, it's called the default position. Anytime you don't know a mochor, just say two words. Malachas Bachshavas, and then when that fails, you just say Mishkan. Mishkan, that wasn't the way it was in the Mishkan. That's the way it was in the Altahayim, back in the Mishkan. That's where they did things, and that's the way it is. And finish Gemara. So it could be that the requirement of Kesher Chayoma is a din prati. It's a Chashabas to Kedin. Well, maybe no, it's not doing a Chashabas. You know why you need Kesher Chayoma? Because it was Nimsos to Moshe Rabbeinu, one of the Lamites Malachas is Kesher. As I state in Rabbi Baruch Chait's book, Kesher is one of the Lamites Malachas. So that's the name of the game. It's got to be Kesher. How do you define Kesher? So you have to look up in a dictionary. Like you look in Webster's dictionary, you got to look in the Halachapedia. Look up a page of Halachapedia, and they'll define to you the word Kesher, the root, Kuf Shin Resh, means two strings that are tied together on a permanent basis. That is part of the very etzem definition of the word Kesher. It's not a din Hilchos Shabbos. It's a din called Terakula. My nafkamina zok tezoy. Nafkamina is what about outside of Hilchos Shabbos? What about other areas of halacha? So if you hold the first pshat, what does other areas of halacha impact Hilchos Shabbos for? This is a din prat Hilchos Shabbos. But if you go down the second route, that this is part and parcel of the definition of the word kosher, so then other areas of halacha will be critical. That's the svar of the Mordechai, the defender of Ben Eliyahu. The Mordechai says, how can you tell me a story that a tefillinah is not a kesher? True, Ben Eliyahu is right that it's untied every day, and generally speaking, things that are untied every day are not called the kesher. But the Torah says the kesher. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also has what to say about definition of words. So if the Torah Kedesha says that it's called the kesher, or as the Mechaz Chidiv borrowed that svar into Tzitzis, if the Torah Shebapel, Halach Mashina Shtei, does is a kesher, so you can kvetch from today till tomorrow, Tzera Shekoyama, but does the kesher. Rabbi Natam said, what do you bring me rayas from Kol Tarakula to Shabbos for? I never said it's not called the kesher in Kol Tarakula. It's called the kesher in Kol Tarakula, but it's still potter in Shabbos because it's Nishnumi de Mishkan. So Rabbi Natam says, that doesn't make any sense. You can bring me a raya from the Lachapedia page on how to define the word kesher. I'm not talking how to define kesher. I'm talking about a nuance, a detail in Hilchos Shabbos. So that machlokes Rabbi Natam and Rabbi Yoh is critical. It's a yesod in terms of understanding what the nature of this din is of Shabbos. This whole requirement, this whole Torah requirement of Kesher Chayama, where did it come from? Did it come from Hilchos Shabbos? And therefore, there can't be any riots for what the Torah does or doesn't call in other areas of halachas. We're not even learning other. We're not learning Chos Tefillah. We're learning what year we're up to. Mishibruch and Gimel. We're not learning Chelik Alta. It was 2 years ago. So what do you bring me riots from Hilchos Tefillah to Hilchos Shabbos? L'chora, this shayla that we're raising now, what the nature of the din of Kesher Shenosh HaChayom is. Is it a din just in Shabbos? Or is it a din in Kol Terakula? L'chora, this impacts on a very, very famous chumrah. It's a chumrah for the Avnei Nezer, tucked away back in Hilchos Tefillin. The Avnei Nezer writes that if you borrow somebody's tefillin and they don't fit you properly, so you want to adjust the kesher, so you quickly undo the whole kesher. Don't do this unless you know what you're doing, unless you ask for permission. You undo the whole kesher, you put it on, and then you take them off. You want to give it back to him again, because your head doesn't fit his head, so you go ahead and retie the knot again. So the Avnei Nezer says you want your yetzit tefillin mederaisa. Why? Because you didn't have a kesher. Kesher tefillin is a lachmash sin. You didn't have a kesher. You know why? Because the kesher that you had was a kesher shenosh HaChayama. It was only a kesher there for 20 minutes. Okay, if you dive a little longer, 35 minutes. 1 minute, Rosh Chodesh, till almost for 40 minutes, koshi. It was Enoch, unless you're davening, it's not tzaddik, you're davening for 24 hours, davening for a week, davening for a month, for a year. So a guy davens, generally speaking, less than the Shia Shal Chayam, is like the Avnei Nezer, you weren't Yetzir Mitzvah Tefillin. So you look at the Mishnah Berurah Chos Tefillin in Remez Mizel Shumdor. The Mishnah Berurah just makes a ha'ara. He says, when you borrow somebody's tefillin, make sure they're not fit you. He doesn't say, oh, by the way, and if you're adjusting the knot, you should just know you're not Yetzir Mitzvah Tefillin. He doesn't mention cues there. This chumah for this idea of the Avnei Nezer. So the Chavad, the Avnei Nezer is a pilei ploim, because the Avnei Nezer was assuming that the din of Enosh HaKayama is a din in Kol HaTerekula. It's not just a din in Hilchos Shabbos. It impacts on the definition of Keshef Hilchos Tefillin as well. He's like talking the language of Rabbein Eliyahu, not the language of Rabbeinu Tam. We don't paskel like Rabbein Eliyahu. We paskel like Rabbeinu Tam. We don't paskel like this whole svar. And make matters worse for the Avnei Nezer, according to Rabbein Eliyahu, But this is the exception to the rule. Rachmana kara kasher. So you can't turn around and say it's a kesher tefillah, it's erev shachar yom, you're not yotzei. No, but the Torah calls it a kesher. So how can the chum of the avinezer is nish like Rabbeinu Tam, nish like the Rabbeinu Eliyahu? It's mam shapili ployim that avinezer. Not for now. That was a chus tefillah story. Not for now. Back to chashamas. So the bottom line is kayama is very, very important. Is it all important or the part of important? So that's the big machlekes Rashi in the Rambam. It's going to be really Rashi against the riff in the Rambam. When the Gemara is at the beginning of Eluk Sharim, line up the different kinds of Sharim, so the Gemara says clearly there are some Asim in the Torah, some Asim in the Rabbanan, and some Mutal Chetchila. So we mentioned quickly last week that there's machlekes and Rishonim, one of those three categories. So Rashi says there's only one factor, and that is time. If it's super duper duper kayama, then it's super duper duper also i.e. it's chayav. If it's somewhere in the middle, then it's also b'derabon. If it's enishah kayama klal, then it's mutl chetchila. According to the riff in the Rambam, that's not the pshat. According to the riff in the Rambam, there are only two gradations of kayama, either yekayama or nishkayama. Whatever you draw the line, it's questionable, but it's either yekayama or nakayama. When is it deraisa? If it's kayama plus, what's the plus? Maisa uman. It has to be a professional kind of a knot. If it's an amateurish kind of a knot, so that by definition cannot be a deraisa. That's according to the riff in the Rambam. So the deraisa is, it's both kayama and maisa uman. The rabbanan is when it's either or, and mutlach chila is when it's neither. How do we pass in the halacha? So the halacha, we take the chumras of both of the shitas. What does that mean? It comes out as follows. If you have a kesher that's a maisa uman, the game is over. There's nothing to talk about anymore. Because according to the Rif and the Rambam, it's also with the rabbanan. I don't care if it's a kind of a knot that comes out in 10 seconds. The minute that's labeled up yalocha as a maisa uman, the game is over according to the Rif and the Rambam. According to Rashi, that's not true. According to Rashi, if it's very, very, very temporary, Rashi was in Geiris the sugya of maisa uman. He never heard of maisa uman. Maisa uman for hilchos chalavoy, not for chaskash b'shabbos. So there's no such thing as a maisa uman in hilchos shabbos. But we, the halach and shulchan aruch, we are chayshish for the Rif and the Rambam, and therefore any time you have a maisa uman, you're automatically going to be in trouble. What if you have a maisa hedyot, that's somewhere in the middle. It's not really, really shel kayama, but it's not super duper not kayama either. It's somewhere in the middle. So now Rashi is going to end up being the chumrah, and the Rif and the Rambam are going to be the kula. Because according to the Rif and the Rambam, kayama means real, real. Kayama means real 6 months, a year, 20 years, a lifetime for adbias. It means a long, 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 long time to be kayama. And anything short of that is not kayama. And if it's a maisa hedyot, so then it's okay, according to the Rif and the Rambam. It's about lechatchila. But according to Rashi, it falls into that gray area of being also midirabbanan. So now we end up with the worst of both worlds. We're the chumras of both shitas. We la halacha. We can't be machuir between Rashi against the Rif and the Rambam. Therefore, the pesukim write in Shulchan Aruch that anytime you have a ma'aseh hedyot, I'm sorry, anytime you have a ma'aseh uman, the game's over. It's also midirabbanan. Forget about ma'aseh umans. You're never going to be mad at ma'aseh uman. Number two, anytime you have a quasi kayama, even somewhere half baked kayama, the game's over also. The only thing we will lemaisa be matir is if it's both the maisa hedyot and an absolutely crystal clear inner shabriyam klal klal klal. Then only then will it pass the rigorous test of both from the Rambam and Shitas Rashi. So that's what lemaisa we pass in Lalach. So maisa uman's out of the question, and any quasi maisa any quasi kayama, even a little bit of the rabbanitical level is also midrabbanit. Therefore, who's us to define these terms? What's a maisa hedyot? What's a maisa uman? What's kayama? What's inner shabriyam? So when it comes to Maisa Hedyot versus Maisa Uman, if you would have asked me, I would have said as follows. Maisa Uman is like the examples that Gemara gives. Like sailors. Most people are not sailors. So if you would have asked me to go tie a knot on the Queen Mary's line, I wouldn't even know where to start. You'd ask me to go tie a knot on camel drivers. Even in the days of Chazal, most people weren't camel drivers. So a few people here and there knew how to tie knots on camels. Most people, if you weren't a camel driver, you generally didn't know how to do that. That's what I would have said if Maisa Uman is. So the Rambam quotes from Shulta Gibayrim a very, very big chumrah. The Rambam quotes that it could be that Maisa Uman doesn't speak so much about what great skills, how many years of college and graduate school you had to go to figure out how to learn how to tie the snap. Maisa Uman is more of a description, not so much of the Gavra, but of the Chefza, namely, it's a really stark knot. It's a quote-unquote professional knot in the sense of that you look at this knot and say, well, this is true. This is really going to last. Who knows how to make such a knot? Any Tom the Canary, if you know how to make the knot. A teacher how to make the knot, you make the knot. You don't need a PhD to figure out how to make this knot. A Maisa Hedyot is a cheapy kind of knot. It's a foolish kind of a knot. It's a nonsense kind of a knot. A knot that just, the minute you touch it, all of a sudden it falls apart. It doesn't, I said. Well, that's a very, very big chumrah. But now, the Ramah quotes, and if a big chumrah from the Shulchan Aruch Yom second half, he said, at what point do we say that a knot is a tight knot, it's a strong knot, it's a very powerful knot? I didn't say it's a professional knot, but at what point do we say meets the criteria being called this newfangled, this new chumadik version of Ma'is Uman? Once it's two knots, it's a kesher, gotta be kesher. If it's a one and a half baked knot, falls in the minute you touch it, it's not the pashka, you play with it a little bit, all of a sudden it comes unraveled, that's a Ma'is Edyot. Once it's one knot, I gotta be another kesher, gotta be kesher. Every kesher, gotta be kesher is a chashash of a Ma'is Uman, which according to the Rif of the Rabbi is a chashash of a nisir. And even though it's in a shakayom, it doesn't matter. You could have in mind to take it out in 20 minutes from now. It doesn't make a difference. Once it's Ma'is Uman, the game's over. So we just combined three chumras in this sugya. We chayshish for the Rif and the Ram that Ma'is Uman by itself is a problem, at least with the Rabbanu. We define Ma'is Uman not so much as a professional with a skilled laborer, but just merely a stronger kind of knot. And the third chumra is that every double knot constitutes a chashash of a kesha chazak, which is by definition Ma'is Uman, which is by definition is also the Rabbanu, also the Rif and the Ram. Don't blame me. The Ram connecting all these dots. Ramah says, and therefore, proper practice, you shouldn't be tying double knots. So we try to follow that practice, that we should try to avoid tying and untying double knots on Shabbos, even though they are going to be taken out fairly quickly. That doesn't matter. So this creates the potential problem of making ties on Shabbos. Now, I am not going to demonstrate the making of a tie. I'll tell you in a minute why not. There are multiple ways of making ties. I think that like someone wrote up like 50 different styles. Lafina is that there are two basic ones. Anyone know? What are they called? Windsor and what's the other one? Double Windsor, half Windsor, double Windsor, somewhere. There are two, three, there are 50, but there are some ties that are made that are mamash kesher gabi kesher. If you follow what you're doing next time you make a tie, so roughly not in Shabbos. If you make a tie and you go around once, and then you go around, then you go nacham all in, so you just made a kasher, gabi kasher. So according to this Ramah, every time you have a kasher, gabi kasher, it's a chashash of a ma'isa uman, and even taking it out every hour or so is not going to make a difference. So if your practice is to make ties that way, so then according to the Sibri of the Ramah, you probably shouldn't be making a tie or untying a tie in Shabbos. If you make ties the other way, or one of the other ways that you only go over once, then you just go around and raise a charum and something like that, so then maybe that would qualify as a kesher echad, which a kesher echad we assume is not even a chashash of a ma'is uman, and therefore that would be okay. Now, the reason why I'm very, very weary to demonstrate is I once tried demonstrating on this. It was many years when I first got married, so I used to give shiurim one night a week in Stern, in Hilchos Shabbos. So I was trying to demonstrate kosher. So I took my tie off, and I was trying to make it in different ways to show. And I made it in a way I couldn't untie it. I remember standing in front of 50 girls. I thought I couldn't get the tie back on. So I remember the time I tossed the tie away. I said, because Rabbi Meir Goldbach used to teach like the shiur before me, and he used to take off his tie, not because he was teaching us kosher. So I said, now we're going to Israeli style. Take the tie off and I finish the shiur without my tie. It's going to be an video of me. But one time, one of the Reed's dinners, so they were showing the video, and my wife was like humiliated because all the other Rebbeim, when they were saying Shia, they were wearing their jackets, and I was walking around, spazzing around my jacket off, my sleeves up, and June was probably wearing a short sleeve shirt. I was like, so she said, how can you do that? I said, because it's hot in the room. I said, I can't. I get all riled up, risk of their ISIS. I always take my jacket. Now I'm tired. I'm not screaming, I'm not walking around, so I take my jacket. But when I say Shia often, sometimes at least. The old days, I used to walk around a lot. So I used to, before, everything was changed by Zoom. Once we started Zooming, so then before we had the owls, so I couldn't budge, so I had to sit in one place. So now we have the owls, we didn't have the owls. You guys know what I'm talking about? Doesn't make a difference. Okay, fine. So in the Free the Kedairis, I used to walk around a lot with my jacket off. So I learned one thing from that. Not that I wear my jacket instead of Shia, but every time I see any guy from YU come in with a video or a camera or anything like that, I immediately put my jacket on. Yeah, anyway, yeah, sorry. It's late, it's 6 o'clock, I'm tired. Yeah.
Take the chumrah of making a double knot or tie to its logical. Should you also not make one knot because you're tying something onto itself?
Yeah, that's also a question, right? Right. That's a question. How much that tying onto itself is really making a tie? I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know.
When it comes to the ties, if you just loosen it as opposed to untying
it. Yeah, that should be okay. Yeah, that should be fine. Yeah, yeah. So, Lamaisa, what I started to do is I make my tie from before Shabbos and I just slide it off on Friday night and slide it back on Shabbos morning. And then I start to get a little bit lazy that when I take it off Motzei Shabbos, so I also don't bother. So if you're interested in coming to my, I don't know where you would want to, but if you want to come to my closet in my room, so I have 30 ties all made, all ready. My wife can't stand it, but I told her it's a Chum Ruch Shabbos. It's like Menar Talisa, you know.
Yeah. There's no chashash muksa, but
muksa, what?
If you have a double knot like a tie, it's a.
What do you mean?
If you have like a.
What's the chashash? It's somewhere. I just be careful not to tie it, untie it. There's nothing wrong with it.
What about that knotting gear or shoelaces? Oh, forget
the shoelaces. The very famous head of the shoelaces.
You said that if you just do one knot, maybe it's
mutter? Yeah, no, it's okay. It's one knot, it's okay. Assuming that's going to be taken untied and untied all the time. So the Ramah himself, I mean, the Maaseh Shulchan Aruch already quotes that b'medev ha'mamurim, that we're nervous with these double knots, that's if it's a double knot. But if it's only a niva al gabe kesher, it's a single knot with a bow on top, so that's not a concern. Because that's not considered to be a Maaseh Uman, and that's for sure okay. Well, what do you mean for sure that's okay? And a niva gabi kesher. That's why we make shoelaces. Most people tie shoelaces. They go over one time and then they make a bow on top. It's a niva gabi kesher. So it's for sure okay means it doesn't have the chashash, that's the concern of a maizuman. But it's still subject to the other chumra of it's got to be eino shechayama klal klal. So if it's not eino shechayama klal klal, then you're running into a risk of it being asur according to Shitas Rashi. So the chayrish shoelaces are in a shekhoyabu klal klal. I'll tell you why. Because even though it's not 100% clear where do you draw the line, the less than 24 hours is for sure okay. Some rishonim put it a little bit longer than that, but less than 24 hours is for sure going to be in a shekhoyabu klal klal. So it sounds like it's a no-brainer that if you want to tie and untie your shoes in Shabbos, you may go over one kasher and one bow on top of it and show maestro. There's not a chashash of a maestro uman. There's not a chashash of a shekhoyabu klal. Everything is grand. There's hunky-dory. Not so poshut. What if you're kind of a guy who doesn't always tie and untie your shoes all the time? You know, you're lazy sometimes. So, one could argue, the Gemara even talks about this possibility, one could argue that for you, those shoelaces may be labeled as a kesher shokayama, or at least a quasi kesher shokayama. Now, this is part of a general question, who defines kayama? You, the world, etc. So the Peskim say that if lemaisa, you're kind of a guy who does not always tie and untie your shoelaces, you sometimes will take shoes aside and leave them tied for 6 months, so then though that will be a concern of making those kinds of bows, those anivah gabi keshers, even if you plan on taking it apart, you know, in the next hour or so. Because for you, you're a general kayama kind of a person. So for that reason, I shy away from shoelaces. I don't wear shoelaces on Shabbos during the week. It's not kedai. I just don't like shoelaces. You want to wear shoelaces during the week, yesh l'hacha. You want to wear shoelaces on Shabbos, just be careful that you always tie and untie them. So the only time I ever run into this problem is on Yom Kippur because of my sneakers. I haven't yet found sneakers that are, I mean, you wear Crocs, but sneakers that I have, so have shoelaces, have laces on them. And usually my minig is that I take my sneakers off Motzei Yom Kippur without bothering to untie them, and they usually last that way until Tisha B'Av. So that's pretty much a kesher shell. I do have other sneakers that I when I do any kind of walking in, but my Yom Kippur Tisha B'Av sneakers. So those sneakers remain tied for years on end. So therefore, I have to be careful. I can't decide if I'll send him Kippur night. Oh, by golly, I'm going to untie them now. For me to untie them, for Shalom Mati or Kesher Kayama, for me to tie them in the morning, it's going to be Shalom Kesher Kayama. So, Maisha Shokai Choya. So, this Shaila happened in the Wayu Beis Medrash. Exactly when it happened, because it was right after my oldest son was born. So, it was 23 years ago, Yom Kippur. So, we stayed in Yeshiva that year. When I was younger, I used to always daven. I grew up in Rivendell, so I davened all the years in Tells Beis Medrash in Rivendell. So I always davened there Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and then even after I got married, I shot my wife to back to Rivendell so I could daven in yeshiva. And then my second son was born in the summer. We had two little babies, You know, it was too hard, really. So that was the only year I've been in yeshiva, almost 40 years, the only year I was ever here for Yom Nora. It was that one year. Because right after that year, I got a job in Paramus as a rav, and since then I've been a rav for the last 25, whatever it is, years. So I never, ever, only one time I ever davened Hashem Yom Kippur. So when you hear the story, you know why I never came back. So that Yom Kippur, it was in the afternoon, it was the break, and the Musfa just ended. And I was going to be a good husband, a good father, go check on my wife with two little babies. We lived there across the street. So I was going to go check on... in those days, there was no Erev even across the street. There was like one little tiny Erev, half-baked Erev, like around on the sidewalk. It didn't even cross the Amsterdam Avenue yet. I'm not saying if it would have, I would have made a difference in the story, but Lamai said there was no Erev. So I was about to go walk across the street, and I looked down at my shoelaces, my sneakers. I noticed that my sneaker lace had untied by itself. First time in 20 years, untied by itself. So, big deal. What's the difference? Leave it the way it is. Not so simple. So, there's a little bit of a shaila. If you walk in a place where there's no Erev and your shoelaces are untied, is that a chashash of otzah on the shoelaces? So, it's probably not for a variety of reasons. First of all, the shoelaces are still functioning because they're still keeping the shoe a little bit tight on your foot. And number two, you can argue that they're still bottled through, whatever the lumbus is, it's probably not a problem, but not everyone agrees to that. So I remember thinking, it's Yom Kippur in the afternoon. I'm for sure not going to tie these sneaker laces because for me it's a Shabbat Kesh Shal Kayama. Because I never tie my sneaker laces. I go, my luck, they're untied in Yom Kippur. So I'm definitely not going to tie them now. And number two, I'm not going to walk across the street with them until I really am Mavara that it's not a Cheshash whatsoever. So I decided, you know, let me go have a few minutes. I'll go back to Bis Medrash. And I said, let me take a look at Shemesh Shabbos a little bit just to remind myself what the din is about. The Otsaw, maybe is this real a concern or not? The Igra din is probably not even a concern. So those who, you guys will never remember even, anyone ever had in the Old Beis Medrash? You guys remember Shemim Kippur in the Old Beis Medrash before, way before anyone's time, right? Wait. So the Glock's been around for 12 years, 10 years, 12 years, 11 years. So in the Old Beis Medrash on Shabbos, the back of the Beis Medrash was the Ezras Nashim. So Shemim Kippur, there was a fairly large Ezras Nashim. So they had quartered off, like the whole back quarter of the Beis Medrash, go figure all the halachas far more. So I had access to all the Gemaras and all the Ritvahs on Bava Tzia, but the Lamais and Shmei Shabbos and the regular Svarim, we needed to look this shell up, were in the women's section. Nashim Tzidkanios, Yom Kippur afternoon, was saying Tehillim in the back then. I had to go Shpatzir in my untied shoe, I used to go figure out whether it was. So as Mamash, I was literally a checkmate. So I couldn't tie the sneakers because of Cheshash or Kesh or Koyama. I couldn't go across to see the Shail of Hotso, and I couldn't go to the back of his marriage, the Shail of a breach of Tzinius. So what did I do?
Shabbos Goy.
What is it?
Shabbos Goy.
I go ask the security guy, nah, so I just stay.
Take off the shoe.
Because it's not
Kesh. Take off the shoe. What are you going to go? I'm going to go. I'll take another guy.
I'll tell the guy
to go tie my shoelace. So I'm going to go walk across the street, wash the heights, go without my shoes on. So I gave up. So I decided I'm not gonna go across the street. So when I came back after Ma'ariv Matzah Yom Kippur, I had a little more explaining to do. I explained to my wife, you know, this is Lishitosi. The same way you can't rub off the dust on your suit, and the same way same way you walk around without jackets and on videos. So there's another issue. So I try to explain all the lumbus why I didn't make it across the street to help. So the motto of the story is that figure out the dinner, learn the dinner beforehand. That way you don't have to be such in such crisis mode and give her, figure out what to do. Anyway, sure. Okay, let's stop.
Someone else.
That's what I said, Shabbos guy.